There are so many positives about being single in ministry. I remember Chapo when I was a young man and I was still single, and a lot of people had begun to think, encourage me to get married. And Chapo said to me how when he was a young man in ministry, lots of friends of his were saying, "You really ought to get married, Chapo." And he said, "I wish they'd read the Bible." And I believe 1 Corinthians 7, which speaks very positive about marriage, but also speaks very positive about singleness. And that was hugely important for me. So I thought positively about it. And that's been my experience. They're obviously hard things, but the pluses are huge. Less distractions, I think, is true. That can be overdone. Single people clearly have to get food and run a house and do all sorts of things, and that's not shared with a partner. So there are distractions, but there are fewer distractions. That's my experience anyway. There's more time. I wouldn't be travelling around as much as I do if I was married. I can't imagine writing if I was married. One friend of mine says, me and my wife, we produce children, you produce books. And I think that's probably true. I've had that extra time and energy. So I love being single in ministry. As I said, there are downsides, but huge positives. I also had great models. So obvious in the British scene, John Stott, of course. Chapo often came to England and was a great model. Dick Lucas, Jonathan Fletcher. And I saw in their lives, both positively, they weren't sad people. No doubt they had their struggles like we all do, but they used their singleness really positively. And that made me think, well, if I do remain single, this could be greatly used, rather than simply thinking, wow, this is a huge problem. They modelled it in a wonderful way. And that helped me, I think, in the British scene. It didn't feel odd to me, or to others, particularly being single. There are quite a number of pastors who are single. And so when I was 33, I was made the rector of St. Ebbs. And I'm sure that was an issue for them, marriage, singleness. But because they'd been models in before, they appointed me. And I've tried to make it work. I've mentioned positives, and I mean, that wasn't hard for me to do. Genuinely, that there are real positives, but inevitably there are downsides. And my married friends would say the same too. And that's important to remember as a single person. We can very easily, when we are victims of self-pity, kind of think, well, if only I got married, then all the challenges of life would be different. Part of the problem there is that married people understandably don't speak very openly or very often about some of the struggles in marriage. And I can understand that, but it can lead to a rather rose-tinted view of marriage for single people. There are upsides to marriage, great blessings, it's a great gift of God, but there are challenges, and Paul is very honest about that in 1 Corinthians 7. But in the same degree, there are huge advantages in singleness, and there are struggles. And for me, definitely loneliness is a struggle, and I've got to compensate for that. So friendships are hugely important, and to make sure I give time to the friendships I've got. When I started ministry, I think I had two surprises. One was, it was even better than I'd imagined. So I would almost have to pinch myself some mornings and think, I'm actually being paid to do this. And I'd happily do it for nothing if I could. But the other surprise was, it was much harder than I imagined. And I think that's true of the Christian life, isn't it? There are huge ups and huge downs. So I try and maximise the pluses and minimise the downsides. So there are some advantages in terms of time. Personal ministry, I think, particularly with other single people, that can be plus. But there are downsides, and I need to compensate for those. So I'm not the ideal person to be giving advice about parenting or about marriage. And so I need to make sure, I'm lucky within the team, we've got lots of married pastors, so we include them. For those who are single and they don't have a wider team, obviously people who are not on the full-time team can be used in that kind of way. But I wouldn't want to over-exaggerate that. So Peter Adam said to me that he always asks married people about their marriage. Now, I have tended not to, because I kind of thought, well, how can I as a single person talk about marriage? But Peter says, by and large, married people don't ask other married people about their marriage, even in ministry, because they kind of think, well, my marriage isn't as it should be, so how can I encourage other people to be better in their marriage? So Peter says, I always ask people, how's your marriage? And he says, I get the same response pretty much every time. The man fairly quickly says, oh, well, fine. Then there's a pause, and the woman says, well, and Peter says, well, I've done all I need to do. I just get them talking. And I found I will much more than I used to ask people at their marriage. I will also talk sometimes about parenting. I'm not passing on my advice. But at the same time, my lack of experience is pretty obvious in those areas. So I'll compensate for those weaknesses while maximising the strengths. Things to watch out for being single in ministry would include being self-aware. If you're married, there's someone else to point out your strengths, someone else to point out your weaknesses. If you're not married, you rely on friends, but you've also got to do that yourself. There's no one there in the house, probably, to say, you're working too hard, or you're not working hard enough. For me, the issue, I think, is overwork. There's less natural balance to the day. So my married friends, especially those with kids, around about sort of late afternoon, it's family time, and I have a hard day at work. There's a rhythm in the day. For me, I could just keep working. And in the early days of ministry, I did, and I got ill. Largely, I think, because I just loved what I was doing, and it never occurred to me that it was taking energy out of me. So I'd meet one individual after another, and I got exhausted and almost had to give up ministry altogether. And I learned self-awareness the hard way, and I've had to inject rhythm into my working life. The other thing is just a reminder that we all need people. So we're all relational. We've been wired relationally, and I, as a single person, need to remember that. This is a massive generalisation, but by and large, women instinctively recognise that and are always looking for friends and giving family time and with wider family and so on. I think men can forget how relationally wired we are because we're thinking function and job, but actually we need family and friends, and that's been something I've tried to give more time to in recent years. I've recognised just how much I can give relationally and how much I need to receive relationally. And I'm getting better at it, but that's something that unless I'm quite self-disciplined, relational time can get gobbled up, because all of us in ministry know that you can never stop and say, I've done the job. There's always just masses more to do than you've got time to do. And it's easy when you've not got someone saying, give more time to me, give more time to the kids, just to do more work. And I need relational time. That's the big thing I think I need to watch out for myself. We have quite a large church, in British standards anyway, quite a large church. And so a big team, we've got a large number of apprentices. And then I should think 15, 16, 17, 18, 20 or so senior staff members, male and female. We really want a mixed team. And that would include single and married. Actually, the women on our team, the senior women, are single. We've had married women in the past, and there are, I think, huge advantages to both having married women and single women. They bring different experience of life, different opportunities. The other thing to remember, of course, is people are people, and so each individual is different. We tend to think, first of all, gender, and then marital status, married or single, and then we think we've done the job, but actually every individual is hugely different. So the fact that someone's single is part of who they are. But I wouldn't treat every single person the same, nor would I treat every single woman the same. On our team, we've currently got two senior single women. We're about to just appoint a third who'll join us shortly. I think things I've got to recognise is they need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And especially the single women give out such a huge amount. And I can assume they're like me. I give out quite a lot relationally, but not nearly as much as the women. I can meet one-to-one with someone, and it might be a 45-minute meeting, and we've got an agenda. I just find my female friends, married or single, just don't do that. It's much longer, and they're really engaging emotionally with that encounter. That can be just draining. If they're single, they've got no one to offload that to. So I've certainly found that we need to give more time to single women just to talk about their ministry and talk about the people they're meeting with, so it's not just churning around and around, and also give time off. Married women that I've worked with, they just have to have a much bigger mix of things in their life. Inevitably, they're being pulled in the family direction. Single women need to be encouraged to do that and have space to do it. So we actually tend to give an extra half day a week off for the single women, recognising we really need to encourage them in that. But they brought massive strengths, not least that they operate, I think, as a kind of relational glue in the church family in a way that they don't realise. I'd say that not just about married single women on the team, but single women and single people generally in church families very often think subconsciously we're the needy people and we need to gain relationally from others and especially from biological families. But without realising it, they are relating to a much wider mix of people, young and old, single, married. So they do operate much more than they ever recognise as a kind of relational glue. And that's true of the single women on our team. The range of their relationships is huge. And I need to encourage them in that because very often they can be aware, especially when they're tired and drained in ministry, of the things that they're finding hard and often of loneliness. And for all of us single people, that's an issue we've got to grapple with. But I need to keep reminding them actually how much, and this is not me trying to say things to please them, it's genuinely true how much they're relationally valued within the church family and in the staff team. We need them. The other thing is to recognise everyone gives something to a staff team, so we need to function as a team. I think this is true generally, but single women in particular come with a particular experience of life. So in staff discussions, I want them to know that their voice is valued and needed. I don't want them to be sitting in the background thinking it's not for me to contribute except in my particular area. So we keep saying there are no no-go areas in our church family. So I want to hear their voice on areas of ministry they're not personally involved in because they hear things and they will give an insight that is massively valued. But very often I find, and again this will vary from person to person, that they tend to hold back. Perhaps because they're conscious they want to defer and they want to recognise the leisure of others. And I need to encourage them not to defer too much or in an inappropriate way and to play their full part. And they have been massively valued. And the fact that we're just about to appoint a third single woman on the team tells you how much we've valued the ones we've got.